ชรามรณามาปริโมจิสามิอิดามิปุญญังอาสวัคคยาวหังโหตุอิดามิปุญญังนิบบานัสสะปัจเจโหตุอิมานโนปุญญบาคังสัพพสัตตานันเตมะสัพพิสัตตาสุขิตาหันตุToday is the 14th March 1998. We will continue our Dhamma talk about the five mental faculties.Panca Indriya. So, Panca is a five. Indriya means the controlling faculties. Panca Indriya means the five controlling faculties of the mind. So we can say five mental faculties. Those are Saddha, Viriya, Siddhi, Samadhi, Panya. Saddha, faith or confidence. This is faith, is not ordinary faith.Strong and firm faith in the Triple Gems, especially in the technique of mindfulness and meditation. Viriya, energy or effort, this also not ordinary viriya.As to Vipassana meditation, mostly the omniscient Buddha used the word padana, padana as viriya. Viriya is an ordinary one, ordinary effort.Badana is a strong, strenuous effort. That's why when the Buddha teaches us the five factors of a meditator, a yogi, he used the word Badani Yanga.Badani Yanga. Badani Yanga is two words are compounded. Badaniya Anga. Anga is a factors. Badana is a strenuous effort. Iya is a person or a meditator. Badaniya here means thatA person with a strenuous effort. Padani Yanga means the factors five factors of a meditator with a strenuous effort. So here, and five mental faculties, also viriya is not ordinary viriya. It's a bodhana, strong or strenuous viriya. Saddha viriya, sati, mindfulness. This also not often on with such mindfulness. No poor mindfulness, constant and continuous mindfulness. Then samadhi, concentration, deep concentration, panya, insight or enlightenment. Of wisdom, but it includes ordinary some knowledge of Dhamma or understanding is also called Panya. So firm and strong faith, strenuous viriya, strenuous effort, constant and continuous mindfulness, deep concentration, and insight, enlightenment, or wisdom. These are the five mental faculties which a meditator must be endowed with. Only these five mental faculties are sharp and strong and powerful. Meditator can achieve his goal, the cessation of suffering. And also, Saddha and Panya, faith and insight or insight must be balanced. Must be in balance. Concentration and effort also must be kept in balance. I explained to you these things in the previous talks briefly. Now what I want to explain to you is how a meditator attain the insight. How the insight realizes metta and mind or bodily and mental phenomena. When a meditator observes the eight precepts, or at least the five precepts, very well, his morality is purified. He has attained purification of morality, purification of virtue, sila visuddhi. Purity of morality is conducive to the deep concentration of a meditator, when sila, morality, is purified, meditator's mind is clear and sharp, so he can concentrate on any object of meditation very well. So purification of morality is the cause of deep concentration. That's why we need to observe the precepts when we are about to practice meditation, any kind of a meditation, either samatha meditation or vipassana meditation. With the power of purification of mind, purification of morality, samatha meditators can attain either excessive concentration or absorption concentration, upachara samadhi or apana samadhi. Yeah, apana samadhi means jhana. Jhana means a fixedness. When the mind is well fixed to the object of meditation, it's called jhana. So when the mind is completely absorbed into an object of meditation, this is also called jhana or absorption. When we say absorption, the Pali word is apna. So when we when a samatha meditator attains excessive concentration, upachara samadhi, which is also known as neighborhood samadhi concentration, because it's next to absorption concentration or jhana concentration. It means jhana concentration is preceded by upachara samadhi, excess concentration. Only samatha meditator can attain upachara samadhi and apana samadhi, excess concentration and absorption concentration. Vipassana meditator, insight meditator, cannot attain either excess concentration or absorption concentration, but he attains momentary concentration, which is equal to excessive concentration in samatha, as to the in order to overcome the hindrances. In samatha meditation, when a samatha meditator attains excessive concentration, his mind is purified from hindrances or defilements. Hindrances are of five kinds, as you know. The first one, sensual desire. The second, ill will or aversion, anger or hatred. Then the third, sloth and tapa, Tinamita. The fourth, restlessness and worry of Dajja Kakuja. The fifth, skeptical doubt about Triple Gems. These are the hindrances. If one of these five hindrances and the meditator's mind, he can't concentrate on any object of meditation. Suppose he has aversion in his mind, that aversion hinders his concentration to arise. The concentration cannot arise because of that aversion or ill will. So this aversion or ill will is a hindrance, one of the five hindrances. When the mind is well concentrated on the object of meditation, none of these five hindrances cannot arise with the mind. So concentrated mind overcome these hindrances and overwhelmed these hindrances. We can say the concentrated mind suppress these hindrances not to arise in the mind. So the mind is purified from these hindrances and defilements. This purification of a mind is attained by samatha meditation with excess concentration or absorption concentration. But insight meditator does not attain either excess concentration or absorption concentration. But he attains momentary concentration. But this momentary concentration has also ability to overcome these hindrances, to suppress these hindrances, not to arise in the mind. So the sub-commentary to Visuddhimagga said, momentary concentration is equal to excessive concentration and samatha. When it is able to overcome these hindrances, or remove these hindrances, or suppress these hindrances, though the momentary concentration has the same strength as absorption concentration and samatha, it's not named as excessive concentration or absorption concentration. Momentary concentration has the same strength as excessive concentration, upachara samadhi, but it's not named as excessive because excessive upachara, the name upachara is given to the concentration and samatha meditation, not anupassana meditation. That's why in anupassana meditation, momentary concentration, kanika samadhi, the word kanika samadhi, it is used. But this momentary concentration, when it becomes continuous, constant, uninterrupted, it's a strength, is able to remove all hindrances. So here, for samatha meditation, when a meditator has attained either upacara, excess concentration, or absorption concentration, his mind is purified from all defilements, all hindrances. So he has attained the purification of mind by means of either excess or absorption concentration. When the mind is purified from all hindrances, defilements, it becomes calm, tranquil, serene. So this state of calmness, tranquility, is enjoined by samatha meditator. So it's called jhana sukha, happiness of a jhana, or happiness attained through jhana concentration. But for vipassana meditation has to be mindful of whatever arises in his body and mind as it really occurs. He has many varieties of mental states and physical processes as the object of meditation. Whatever arises in his mind or body is the object of meditation. He must observe it as it is. He doesn't take only a single object, like samatha meditation. Samatha meditator takes only a single object and strive to concentrate his mind well on that object only. But the vipassana meditation does not take only a single object. He takes any mental state, any physical process that arises at this moment as it is. Because the purpose of upasana meditation, insight meditation, is to realize the true nature of mental states and physical process as they really are. So, vipassana meditator needs some degree of a deep concentration, but he doesn't need very deep concentration. If his concentration is too deep, there won't arise any insight with that deep, very deep concentration. Then he won't be able to realize any mental or physical phenomena. But he needs some degree of a concentration, which can be attained by being aware of each mental state or physical process that arises at this moment, from moment to moment. So, as a mind stay with a mental state for some moment, when that mental state has disappeared, his mind takes another object of a physical phenomena or mental state which arising at that moment. Then the mind stays with that object for a moment. In this way, the insight meditator's mind stays with an object momentarily, but it takes one object after another. So his concentration becomes continuous, uninterrupted. That continuous and uninterrupted concentration is able to remove all hindrances and defilement. So by means of this momentary concentration, Vipassana meditator, insight meditator, attains the purification of a mind, citta visuddhi. When the mind is purified to a large extent, there arises an insight that penetrates into the true nature of bodily and mental phenomena. From the moment Vipassana meditator attains the purification of a mind by means of powerful momentary concentration, he has been realizing the true nature of mental states and physical process which are observed. Then here, with purification of a mind, Vipassana meditator realizes the intrinsic nature of mental and physical phenomena in two aspects. One is the aspect of sabhava lakshana, specific characteristics or individual characteristic. The other is the aspect of samanya lakshana, common or general characteristics. Sabhava lakshana is specific or individual characteristics. Samanya lakshana is common or general characteristics. In the first two stages of inside knowledge, meditator realizes the specific characteristics of a body-mind process, bodily and mental phenomena. From the third stage of insight, he realizes both specific characteristics and general characteristics of a bodily and mental phenomena. their specific characteristics. Belongs to each individual mental states or physical unit or material unit. In other words, each mental state has its own specific or individual characteristics. Each physical process has also its own specific or individual characteristics. Most of the time when we practice Vipassana meditation, according to Mahasatipatthana Sutra, we have to begin with the physical phenomena, material phenomena, such as rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen, or sitting posture and touching sensation, or in breathing and out breathing. In the course of our Vipassana meditation, we have to be mindful of the most prominent object, either mental states or physical process. Physical phenomena is more prominent than mental states. So we have to begin with the physical phenomena. And most of the time we have to be aware of physical processes. So this physical process is composed of mainly the four primary elements. The four primary elements. Those are, as you know, Prithvi Dhatu, earth element, Avo Dhatu, water element, Tejo Dhatu, fire element, Vayu Dhatu, air element. Each of these four primary elements has their specific or individual characteristics, which must be thoroughly realized by a meditator when his mind is purified from hindrances, or when he has attained the purification of mind. So, Prithvi Dhatu, earth element, though we say the word earth, it doesn't refer to earth itself. It refers to its characteristics. The characteristics of earth element is hardness and softness. Hardness and softness is the characteristics, the specific or individual characteristics of earth element. It doesn't belong to any other primary material element or any other mental states. So this hardness and softness is called the specific or individual characteristic of earth element. Then Avo Dhatu, water element. Here also we do not mean earth itself. We mean that its characteristics, that is, fluidity and cohesion or trickling. Trickling or fluidity or cohesion is the specific or individual characteristic of water element abodhatu. Then tejo dhatu, fire element. Though we say fire, the word fire doesn't refer to fire itself. It refers to its characteristics. The characteristics of a fire element or temperature is heat and cold. Heat and cold. So fire element has the characteristics of heat and cold. It's a specific or individual characteristics. Then Vayu Dhatu, wind or air element, has the characteristics of movements, motion, vibration, supporting. If you experience and you are meditate, practice movements of motion or vibration or supporting nature, you realize you are experiencing Vayu Dhatu, wind or air element, realizing it's a specific a general characteristic, there's the movements of motion or vibration. Then mental states. When we say mental states, according to Buddhist Abhidhamma philosophy, mental states include all the consciousness and its mental concomitants. So according to Buddhist philosophy, we have to divide mental state into two parts. One is consciousness, the other is mental concomitants or mental associates. The consciousness just know the object, that's all. It doesn't feel it pleasant or unpleasant, good or bad. It doesn't perceive the memorized it. It doesn't have any desire for it. It doesn't grasp it. According to Buddhist philosophy, the consciousness just know the object, that's all. So the scripture said, Aramana Vijayanana Lakanan Chaita. Chaita means consciousness. Aramana means the object. Vijayanana means cognizing. Lakana means the characteristics. So Aramana Vijayanana Lakana. Chaita means consciousness has the characteristics of cognizing an object. It cognizes the object when it has contact with the object. Just cognizes the object. It doesn't do anymore. When the consciousness cognizes the object, then if it doesn't, if it, as soon as it cognizes the object, it passes away. But when the object doesn't disappear, another consciousness rises, and then it sort of passes away. But this cognization has their concomitants that arise together with them. They are called Chetasika. Chetasikas, mental concomitants or mental associates. So when a consciousness arises and cognizes an object, then there is a contact between consciousness and the object. There's a feeling, either pleasant or unpleasant or unneutral, about the object. There's a perception. One of mental states perceives or memorizes the object. There's a mental state which pay attention to the object. It's called manasikara, attention. There's a mental state, a psychic force, jivitendriya. These mental states arise together with the consciousness when it cognizes an object. So, when a meditator, say, the see a visible thing, say, a car or a flower, then the consciousness cognizes the flower as the object, but it doesn't know it's a flower. It just knows it's an object, that's all. But there are mental concomitants, as I told you. Perception, contact, feeling or sensation, attention, psychic force, and so on. When meditator does not note seeing, then the consciousness, together with its mental concomitants, takes the object repeatedly and stay with it, but arising and passing away, one after another. Then, when it stayed about 2 or 3 seconds, consciousness cognizes the object. Then there's a contact. Then one of mental factor or mental concomitants feels pleasant or unpleasant about the flower. Say, feels pleasant. Then attention, manasikara, leads the consciousness together with its mental concomitants to the object repeatedly. Then there's one mental factor or mental concomitant. When these mental concomitants and consciousness takes this object such a long time, then the consciousness, together with this concentration, becomes concentrated on the flower to a certain extent. That's called one-pointedness, ekagata. This is a sort of a weak concentration. then the feeling, the sensation feels pleasant about the object. Because of that pleasant feeling or sensation, there comes another mental state, a mental concomitant desire. When the desire is not noted as desire, then desire will become more and more powerful. Then it changes into grasping. We call it upadana. Grasping here means it grasps the flower. It doesn't let it go. So in this way, desire or grasping, mental defilement, arises dependent on the seeing consciousness, the consciousness about seeing the flower and some mental concomitant. Why does this mental defilement arise? Why do this mental defilement arise? Because the consciousness, together with its mental concomitants, stay with the object for some time, say for 2 or 3 seconds, or 5 seconds, or 10 seconds. If it doesn't have time enough to stay with the object, there won't arise any desire, any defilement. That's why the meditator has to observe, seeing, when he sees the very beautiful flowers. Seeing. Observing the consciousness of a seeing of the flower. When the noting mind that notes the consciousness for seeing, the consciousness for seeing arises and then passes away. After its disappearance, then the noting mind comes to arise. When the noting mind becomes continuous and strong enough, then consciousness of a seeing has not time enough to stay with the object for some time. Then the feeling or sensation doesn't feel pleasant or unpleasant about the object. Then when there's no pleasant sensation, no unpleasant sensation, there won't arise any desire or aversion regarding this flower. Then defilement has been removed through insight knowledge together with mindfulness and concentration. That's why we have to observe whatever we see as a seeing. Whatever we hear, we have to observe hearing. Whatever we smell, we have to observe it smelling. Whatever we have, we taste, tasting, or eating, chewing, or sweet, sour, or sour. Whatever we touch, we have to observe the touching, hardness and softness. Whatever we think about, noting, thinking, and so on. The noting mind cuts the consciousness of seeing and so on for a moment, for the split of a second. Then the consciousness of a seeing or hearing cannot be continuous. When they are not continuous, they become weak. Then gradually, when the notion mind becomes stronger and stronger, it notes it continuously, constantly, uninterruptedly. Then it becomes more powerful. Then it overwhelms the consciousness of seeing. Then the consciousness stops. It disappeared. There won't arise. There doesn't arise any mental defilement, either desire, aversion, or jealousy, or anything. That's why we have to observe it. Here, when we note seeing, sometimes we know the specific characteristic of cognizing the object. This is just knowing the object. This is just cognizing the object. We come to realize this is realization of a specific or individual characteristic of a consciousness citta. But it has 52 mental concomitants. That arise together with it, depending on the object. Then here what I want to tell you is, in Buddhist Abhidhamma, the mind or the mental states includes both the consciousness and its mental concomitants. When you say mental states, or when you say mind, out of the two types of mentality, the consciousness has this characteristic, specific or individual characteristics of cognizing the object. The desire, craving, attachment or lover has the characteristic of clinging to the object. Dosa, anger, hatred or aversion has the specific characteristic of rudeness. In this way, when we observe the anger that arises at this moment, we come to realize the rudeness of the anger as a characteristic. When we observe the desire, or craving, attachment, we come to realize it's clinging the object. It doesn't let it go. Here we come to realize the specific characteristics or individual characteristics of desire, craving or attachment. That's why we have to observe whatever mental state arises at this moment as it is. In the same way, as to physical phenomena, when we observe the rising and falling movement of the abdomen, when we observe lifting, pushing, dropping of the foot, when we observe the stretching movement of the hand or bending movement of the hand, when our concentrations are good enough, we come to realize the specific or individual characteristic of a wind or air element. When we are able to realize the specific or individual characteristic of a mental or physical phenomena very clearly, we don't take that phenomenon to be a man or a woman, a person or a being, a self or a soul. Because we are realizing the characteristics of mental states or physical process, we judge they are neither a man nor a person. What's they? They are natural process of a mental and physical phenomena. Yes. Today enough. Tomorrow we'll continue this. How a meditator realizes the specific and general characteristic of these mental and physical phenomena, nama and rupa. But not tomorrow. Which day? Day after tomorrow, Monday. May all of you rightly understand how you should practice your Vipassana meditation, try your best, and attain the cessation of suffering.